Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the next edition of Mountain West Connection podcast. If you listened last time, apparently we were liberal with our time. We got cut off. So we'll try not to do that this time. I'm Jeremy. You got Chris hanging out as well. And we're going to basically we'll start right away. We don't want to waste time on talking about stuff. We're going to finish our Boise State topic. All we really want to do is say what their record would be, essentially. And if you haven't listened to the other one, pause this. Listen to that, then come back. Of course, right? That's a good idea, Chris?
Right.
Listen in. Okay. So what do you think? Okay, let's get to it. What do you think their record will be for Boise State? We'll just jump into it.
Yeah. So realistically, I think they're going to go 12-1. That's post bowl game. So 12-1.
They don't play 13
unrealistic
games.
No, I meant including the bowl game.
Well, we're not counting that yet. We don't know who they're playing. So
okay, fine. 11-1. Fine. 11-1.
So you're assuming the flag stays up in Fresno State?
I assume that the flag stays up in Fresno State forever. Or at least not this year.
Well, he's done, isn't he? Isn't he a senior, Derek Carr?
I thought Carr was a junior.
Well, it doesn't matter. They don't play him next year because they're going to Big East, so.
Yeah,
forever. So, okay, so your one loss is Michigan State?
My one loss is Michigan State.
Okay, so I'm going to say my projection. People don't hurt me or kill me. I don't want to say Chris is already on edge of what I'm going to say. He already knows what I kind of said last night after our show. But I'm not as rosy as him. Remember, Chris went to Boise State, so take that for what it's worth. Even though he says he's not a typical Boise fan, he 11-1. What do you think? Come on, post Fiesta Bowl fan there. I'm saying it with this protection. I think they could go 11-1. I don't think they will. I really think if they have the worst year possible, like if everything goes wrong, they switch quarterbacks between Nick Patty, Joe Southwick. They kind of go back and forth. They get injuries, and because they're already kind of thin, even though they got some experience. I could see them maybe at the worst end 8 wins on the low end. And that includes losing to Michigan State, Southern Miss, Fresno, Nevada or Wyoming. So I don't see anything below that, but I could see at the worst end 8 wins. If they play what they normally do, I would say probably 10 wins, maybe 9. But I think double-digit wins is not possible. If I think they're going to do what they always do and they'll win 10 games, lose to Michigan State, and then either lose to Nevada or Fresno. That's what I think they'll probably end up losing to. So 10 wins is what I'm going to go with, 10-2. So is that okay if everything goes pretty according to plan? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, 10-2 is fine, but 8-4,
I cringe a little bit saying 10-2, they lost so much, but knowing what they've done, I don't. It's until they prove us wrong. How can you say they're like? How can I say they're realistically going to only win 8 games? I think there's a chance they could possibly, but when you're going to put down, like, say what you're going to say, I think 10, maybe 9 is where I'd go with. So that's what we got for Boise State conference champion. You assume? I bet UCLA won. So yes, I with my one loss. No, I'm assuming unless there's a tie somewhere because there's only 8 games out of 10 teams, so. Yeah, that's how that works out. So let's move on to tonight's topic, actually. Oh, before we do that, there's two interesting things on Twitter that happened today. Well, not today. One was the other day. Everybody knows who John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News is. For Pac-12 News, he's your guy, hands down, right? He's one of the best for the Pac-12 News. He's the best. But however, he still covers San Jose State. And he put a series of tweets. We had our guy, Sierra Spartan, put this up, and I finally got to it today. A series of tweets, which if you follow the league at all, it's not news. What he says is if you have logic and know the league, it makes sense. It doesn't take his inside source to say these things. Basically what he says is that, I'll kind of read through the tweets, as I mumble and talk at the same time. Basically, he says, if the Big East fails, or the Big West, Boise State doesn't get in the Big East, or Big West, excuse me, with their non-football sports, they'll come back in the Mountain West, because the Mountain West will take them. Which, no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
any objections there to the person who follows the league closely at all, or even casually?
Well, I mean, outside of the fact that I'm pretty sure, because the Big East hinted that they were going to help Boise pay those subsidy costs and a little bit more, I think the Big West is still going to take Boise. If the Big West does not take Boise, I honestly think then Plan B is actually move with the WAC. I don't think there's a move back to the Mountain West just for non-football sports, because Thompson already made up his mind that's not going to what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, no, but
they
come back for all sports. I'm saying if the worst case scenario, like if the Big West deal falls apart, the WAC still needs to add three schools. That's highly unlikely within a year. So what he's basically saying, if the Big West falls apart, odds of them coming back to Mountain West are reasonably good. And if you're an average guy, because adding three teams is not an easy task within a year.
Yeah.
And then their only thing that they mentioned is that of the TV deal, Comcast NBC needs the football content or missing Pac-12 deal because Big East has every time zone. So whatever that's not – again, who didn't realize that's the case? If Comcast wants more live sports like hockey and some Mountain West football and Ivy League and I think Colonial basketball or Colonial football, one of the two.
Yeah.
So it's like he put all these tweets like, oh, look at this news. John Wheeler's like, well, really? This is something that everybody's already assumed anyways. There's no breaking news source he has that says this stuff.
It was more of like to completely summarize what we've been kind of knowing all along.
Yeah.
Blah 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 blah.
By
blah,
a guy
blah,
who
blah.
Breaks news.
Yeah. And this was some Joe Shad stuff.
Well, he's going to get bumped for Brett Murphy soon. I'm pretty sure of it because he's going to ESPN. So Joe Shad has nothing on McMurphy, I think. And let's move on to another Twitter tweet I had with, read my timeline, you'll see who it is. It's a Boise State fan. There, did you read this at all? Did you go through about what I meant, told you about earlier?
I did. I did go through it.
Basically what
it was
this Boise fan, who I thought was fairly rational, but apparently they are not. I was kind of surprised at the response to me. They are saying they burned a bridge to the Mountain West, which I don't think they have because the Mountain West will take him back for football. So do you think anything was burned by doing what they did, leaving the last hour?
Yeah. No.
Not too much,
I mean,
really. It's kind of sucky.
No,
but it's not
yeah.
Like, it's not like what Mountain West said ESPN, really. Nowhere near that when they first said, we're not doing anything with you no matter what. I think that's an over-exaggeration. They probably didn't like it just because they're waiting, but I don't think that was as bad as he's saying. And then he goes on to say, well, if they don't get in the Big West, they'll just go independent for football and make more money. Possibly. And okay, that makes sense. Go ahead.
That was possibly the worst thing that he said to this point.
Like, you think it is?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just,
I think they can make more than $1 million a year. I think that's reasonable.
Oh, it's totally reasonable. But, I mean, it still goes back to the fact that being independent in all their other sports.
Oh, no, this is before that. This is just independent football. And then I think I did a reply. This is him, we'll go Indian football more than MWC, obvious choice. I'm like, okay. But then he goes on to say, well, we'll have our non-football sports be independent. That's where you're getting to where it's like, that's just stupid. Because and he goes on to say, well, half our sports are in the Pac-12 or MPSF. Okay, that's only half of your sports. There's still another half. And this is the last response. He never came back to me afterwards. I put out, I think I'd say, let's see, there's basketball on both sides, soccer, tennis, swimming, I think golf, and softball. How are you going to fill out 30 basketball games, 50 softball games, 30 soccer games within less than a calendar year? It's not going to happen. It's like,
no.
That's not going to happen. That's where he didn't respond back. I'm like, okay, I guess I won the argument. Is that safe to say, I guess? But
it sounds
like
you won the argument.
Sports are gone. It doesn't make sense. It was just, it's like the conversation we had before. It's football, football only. Who cares about the other sports? We don't care. Football rules all. But you're going to lose, like, their basketball team is getting better with Leon Rice as their head coach. They're competitive at home in basketball. Like he said, what if we go to the Big Sky or independent? They're going to play New Jersey, NJIT, the Great West Coast, Chicago State, Utah Valley. You couldn't play those teams so many times, and that's just stupid argument I've heard. Well, it doesn't matter. We can manage being independent for a year in all sports, and like, I don't think so. Even Navy and Army are in a league for the other sports.
Yeah, I mean I did read that whole conversation, and I kind of, you know, laughed to myself. But it was odd the way the argument basically got presented, and I was kind of surprised at his response.
Yeah, me too. We're usually getting along pretty well for conversation. Usually agree on most parts, and sometimes we don't. But he's just a guy. Football rules the bus, and who cares? It's just football, nothing. But all right, now that we've I was about to say wasted time, but that's probably a bad term to say when we're trying to get people to listen. We've talked about other options before our main topic tonight. Our entree is coming up. That's a better. I got to get better at this stuff. But we're talking about Colorado State, and we have Rich Kurtzman on the line here shortly to talk about Colorado State football. He writes for the Examiner for Colorado State, and I think Stadium Journey basketball,
Denver Broncos.
Let's just bring him on now and say hello to our one of our first early guests. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing excellent. So we're talking football. It's happening.
Fantastic.
Camp started already. And basically,
we're moving along a little bit.
Yeah, we saw you pop on as we're going through our fun Boise State rant about the illogical fans who like to say it's football only and screw every other sport, which is I assume you're saying probably not the best idea to do.
Not really, I would think.
Yeah, it's not going to work out. But we were talking about CSU, and you've written a bunch of stuff recently because camp's coming up. And first thing we're going to ask you about, we got Jim McElwain. What is your impression for him from what happened in the spring? He's somewhat familiar with the league from being at Fresno State for a couple of years. So what do you think, like, what has he done so far that's impressed you?
Well, you know, I think he had his preseason press conference today, and I think, you know, he's really brought an enthusiasm. He's brought a passion for winning, a passion for excellence, and as he talked about it today, he's really trying to change the culture at Colorado State, and you know, he was talking about how proud he was of his student athletes, how well that they've adapted to the new strength and conditioning program, which is much more rigorous and, you know, more often that they work out. And he also talked about bringing in a mental training teacher from IMG and boasted that, you know, only five other programs in the nation, Alabama, Florida State, LSU, Oregon, and Washington, are currently using this, and he believes it's very beneficial for the athletes. It teaches them accountability, self-awareness, and leadership. And, you know, those are some things that were really lacking the last couple of years here in Fort Collins, accountability especially. And, you know, you could see right away that he means business, not only in the way that he talks. He's able to carry a room. He's very charismatic. But in the way that he handled the player suspensions and then expulsions from the team following, you know, a very violent incident with some other Colorado State students earlier in the year. So you can see that the culture is already changing, and he also talked about, you know, needing his older players to help him in changing that culture and bringing the younger guys along as well.
You kind of answered my question, but I kind of wanted to touch up on it a little. You were talking about changing the culture, and I don't see, you know, I didn't see really Steve Fairchild as a Phil Fulmer type character. I didn't see, you know, I knew that there were suspensions in place, but what other culture was the old football team kind of a part of that wasn't just, you know, getting arrested and all that stuff? Was there just kind of a lack of winning mentality or what?
Well, I think it started in the beginning. There was a lack of preparation, and there was a lack of confidence, I think, not only through the coaching ranks, but that was instilled into the players. And you could really see it on the field on Saturdays. You know, Colorado State's offense was very bland at times, very predictable. And, you know, while their defense was, you know, poor to fair at times, but, you know, there wasn't, the Rams weren't going to win any games under Fairchild in a defensive battle, really. They were going to have to outscore teams, and Fairchild really dialed back the offense. He really took a lot.
That's being nice that he dialed back. He was, it was just painful to watch.
It was very painful to watch. You know, you can only watch 10 to 15 wide receiver bubble screens a game before you realize this is not going to work today. You know, I mean, Fairchild, you know, he brought a NFL mindset to Colorado State, and I don't think he necessarily connected with his players. I don't know how well he connected with the community necessarily, and, you know, and even the media. You know, he was always full of coach speak, and there was always a very strong facade there that he wouldn't let you know what he was thinking. Whereas, you know, McElwain, he speaks, you know, when he says something, you believe it, that's really how he feels. And, you know, he's not a perfect individual. He'll tell you that. And he even said today he's uncomfortable right now, not only because it's his first season as a head coach, but undoubtedly because of the situation he finds himself in currently.
Yeah, I think about the NFL is interesting because if you look just down the road, Air Force, why am I blanking on his name? Air Force head coach.
Jim Calhoun?
Yes, Jim Calhoun. Thank you, Chris. I'm like, space his name. He came from the NFL, and he did some NFL stuff, and he's been fine. So it's kind of, I guess it depends how really entrenched you are, but I guess with him being at the academy, it's a little bit different than not, I guess.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a bit different there. But let's get into actual players and everything that
sure.
they have going on. But I'm looking at the quarterback. We know Pete Thomas left for North Carolina State, I believe.
Right.
He's gone. He was one of the highly recruited guys, if I could speak tonight. He's gone. You got Garrett Grayson, but I'm looking around, so I'm trying to find depth perks and stuff, but I thought Grayson would have been the guy, but apparently Connor Smith might have a chance somehow. He's a redshirt freshman. Who do you think, like, what happened at the spring? Like, is anybody, any separation? And is there actually, is it just those two guys, or is there somebody else who could possibly emerge as that starting quarterback against Colorado in a month?
Well, I mean, when you look at their roster, there are four quarterbacks currently listed on there, but there are actually, there's actually another one, I believe, that's not listed, but really in my eyes and in the feel around town is that Garrett Grayson will be the starter going forward. Connor Smith, he has arguably the strongest arm of anyone on the team, and he did even when Pete Thomas was on the team. He's shown in practice inaccuracies, missed timings and things like this that, you know, maybe have held him down on the depth chart. Now, McElwain is not quick to, you know, anoint anyone, as he said today. And he doesn't want, you know, us, the media, to anoint anyone after the first few practices. Not that we actually get to attend this year, but...
Right, that's good.
You know, as the season goes forward, as the, you know, practicing, you know, fall camp goes forward, it's an open job, but I think if you had to pencil in a starter today, you would say Garrett Grayson. And why? You know, he has three games of experience, albeit it was at the end of the season last year. You know, the Rams were in the dumps. They weren't going to go to a bowl. But he gained some valuable experience. And not only that, he's a dual threat type quarterback. He can drop back and pass. He doesn't have a cannon of an arm, but he has a strong enough arm. And if the protection does break down, he will be able to take off and gain some positive yards and even break off 20, 25-yard runs at times.
Okay, then also sticking with the offense, what is he planning on doing? Because we saw with Fairchild, it was just, except bubble screen after bubble screen or quick slant, 2-3-step drop until the fourth quarter when he actually let Thomas throw the ball, which when they looked pretty good. But so what are they going to try to do on offense? Are they, he came from Alabama, and that's basically which could be a plus for Colorado State. You got the running game and the quarterback who's just, just above average. It gets the job done. They're not going to win a game before. And Colorado State only has the running game in Kristen Wolk, who should be one of the best in the league. And obviously, Matt Coyne coached Trent Richardson, Heisman Trophy guys that are in Alabama. What are they going to do? Is he going to try to shine on the running game? And what exactly, like, he's only running the offense in Fresno, Alabama, and Alabama wasn't Nick Saban, essentially. It's his offense, you know what I mean? It's not going to be, do what you want. Do what you want. Matt Coyne just spread it out against the Fresno. What's the kind of game plan is he trying to look toward? And I assume he's going to want to feature the running game, which has finally gotten off the ground after the second half of last year.
You know, it will be very interesting to see as the fall camp develops what style of offense he wants to put in. Now, if I had to guess today, I would say it's going to be a running game. It's going to be a heavily, you know, unbalanced running offense. Why? I mean, you have Chris Wilkie, who is, he was the third, I believe, in yards in the Mountain West last year with 1,130. He put nine scores on the board on the ground, and that was only in five starts. Raymond Carter, the senior, started in front of him last year, and Wilkie did not take over until week seven. Now,
yeah, I remember that. Everybody thought Carter would be the guy, but apparently he flamed out.
Right, and I mean, you know, Carter had his up-and-down days, but he was inconsistent, whereas Wilkie was not only more consistent, but he's more versatile. He's 6 foot 215 is what he's listed as this year, and which means he actually put on a good 10 to 15 pounds. I'm guessing in muscle. I haven't seen him yet, but he can not only run inside the tackles, but you know his foray is busting it outside, taking off downfield, and putting a 60-plus yard run up for Colorado State. And you know at times, if it weren't for Woke last year, the Rams would have punted over and over and over, which they did many times. But it was very difficult to watch last year, I must say. But he was the shining star. And in all honesty, you know, the offensive line is a great run-blocking offensive line. There are question marks in their passing blocking. Not only that, you have a wide receiver core that is inexperienced and lacks a definite playmaker. They have a few that could become playmakers, and it'll have to be seen how much they're utilized. I believe they were underutilized last year, so they could, you know, possibly have a breakout season. But if I had to guess today, I would say that Colorado State's going to be featuring Chris Wilkie in the running game most Saturdays.
So, Chris Wilkie for Heisman 2013? Yeah?
Yeah, why not? Definitely.
Started early.
right? Start.
You heard it here.
Get a t-shirt printed or something.
All right. So, we had...
last night.
No, thank you. So, we had, you know, Colorado State did have those three defensive players dismissed from the program earlier this year. How does that affect the defense? Is there going to be a completely different scheme to adapt to those lost players? Or is there going to be things the same? Are we going to have complete first years taking over? What's going to happen?
Well, regardless of their suspension and eventually being kicked off of the team and out of the university, the school or the team was moving to a 3-4 defensive scheme anyway. And, you know, under Fairchild, they utilized 4-3 most of the time. But, you know, losing Cappy, who, Nordley Cappy, the defensive end, who really shone last year. He had four sacks in the first game against New Mexico. You know, and he continued to dominate. He was among the top 10 in sack leaders almost all season, and I believe he finished there. You know, his presence is going to be greatly missed because as far as impact players on the defensive line, Colorado State had one, and now they have zero. And as far as Mike Arakpo, you know, he was undoubtedly the best linebacker slash safety. You know, he played safety in high school, and you could really see it in the way he played. He flew all around the field. He put a hat on the ball. He put a hat on the opponent. He brought the wood, and he brought the quickness. If you were watching Colorado State University football last year, and they were on defense, you were watching either number one Arakpo or number 10 Cappy. Without them, it leaves major voids. Now, in the linebacking core, they should be okay. On the defensive line, it's the biggest question mark and likely biggest weakness on the team.
Okay. So, all right. So let's go ahead and get away from the football team real quick. We'll come back to the football team. We'll come back to the schedules and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the on-campus stadium and the proposals, the debates. What's up with that? Is this thing actually going to happen, or
well,
I don't know what a better way to ask it. What's the stadium situation
right.
stand out?
Well, currently, on the 31st, which was Tuesday, they had the final stadium advisory committee meeting. And what that was, there were a series, I believe, of 10 public deliberation meetings where the stadium advisory committee that was put together by President Tony Frank would deliberate and also hear from the public their concerns about the new stadium and questions, field questions, and basically... Frank and the stadium committee have been hearing all the evidence. They've hired an architectural firm. They have, found out, or they're in the process of finding out exactly how much this is going to cost. The estimate is now currently $246 million. And they're waiting on Tony Frank to ultimately make the decision on August 9th. Now, there has been quite a bit of backlash in the community from a group called Save Our Stadium Hughes. Now, they currently play at Sonny Lubick Field at Hughes Stadium and have since 1967. And most of these people that are against the stadium were probably in college at that time. And what I mean by that is that these are older folks. They're not necessarily connected to the university directly anymore, or if they were at all. They love Fort Collins as a community, and they are concerned about traffic and noise issues. Whereas Jack Graham, the new director of athletics at CSU, sees it as a way to accomplish so many things. It's going to bring in a great deal of revenue. I read somewhere they're expecting $32 million per year over 25 years if they build a stadium. Now that goes to licensing fees, seat licensing, and like naming rights to the stadium, et cetera, et cetera. He also believes, having the stadium on campus will bring people back to campus and it will create traditions. He cited a lack of tradition at Colorado State and at Hughes Stadium as a major problem. And he also talked about, bringing people back to the campus, not just to establish traditions, but to show off the ever-evolving and beautiful Colorado State campus. In the 8 years that I've lived here in Fort Collins, the campus has changed dramatically, and it's beautiful. It continues to grow every day. So why not be able to show that off to potential recruits and potential people?
Sorry, is it what's the big issue? If it's just noise, is that really going to stop them from building, especially if they're going to bring, nothing's going to come from raising student fees, local taxpayers,
right.
That's what Jack Graham is saying. What is
right.
really going to stop this from happening? People complain it's going to be too loud, but if you look at their schedule, how many games are in the evening? They play,
right.
like this year, they play Fresno at 5 o'clock, they play Hawaii at 5 o'clock, they play every game's at 5 o'clock, that's
right,
not
right.
too late in the day. So it's like, is that really an issue? Odds of them playing an 8 p.m. local start is unlikely.
Right, well, and I mean, for the people that live around campus, there's already a noise factor, there's already a traffic factor. You know, I really get the feeling that these people are kind of grasping at straws. They don't want change for whatever reason. I think what they're really afraid of is the potential money issue. Now, Graham has repeatedly said that the stadium will be completely funded by private funds. And, you know, possibly these people are worried that they're going to come up short, and they're going to be asked to pay for part of the stadium. I don't see the problem, I don't see the concern necessarily, because Graham's said from day one, and Frank would not have endorsed it. Tony Frank would not have endorsed it from day one unless it was completely 100% privately funded.
Yeah, and I think the other concern people may have is that, well, it's going to take away from academics and other donations that way, but I read somewhere they have, like, one of the largest endowments on the research or academic side to any school almost anywhere, like, outside of, like, mm-hmm. Ivy League and maybe some Pac-12. They got huge endowments, so they're not – it's not like they're really losing money from that spark, because they're so well-funded that way. That's kind of a – I don't know if people have looked into that as well as they should. Like, well, take away this person spending $50 toward, the math lab or chemistry lab or whatever compared to the football. It's just that football. Who cares? So that's where I don't think people look at. That's somewhere people really need to realize, well, it's not going to take away. They have enough money as it is for all of academics. It's not really going
right.
to hurt that department at all.
Well, they actually just completed a 12-year fundraising program and raised $537 million just towards athletics over the last 12 – I mean, just towards academics, excuse me, $537 million over the last 12 years. So that – I really feel like Jack Graham is a visionary. He's a very intelligent man. The reason that he came to Tony Frank in December – was because there was a perfect storm brewing. And he, you know, he staged a great coup and took over that office. Not only because Fairchild was losing, and he knew that he needed to get Fairchild out, but because he saw that this academic money was being raised and that they had almost reached their goal. And at the same time, he has multi-million dollars. He likely has multi-million dollar friends. People that are connected to Colorado State that are willing to give millions of dollars to the stadium, and he knows that he can get it privately funded. Thus,
I think
no money away from the
school. Yeah,
I think
they could too, because they know they can win. Like when Sonny Lubick was there in the early 2000s, late 90s, they were a dominant team out west. So they know mm-hmm. it can happen again, and so that's probably what they're feeling. Like, well, we've done it once, we can do it again. But one last thing,
right.
stadium, like Tony Frank said, it's August. He wants the decision by August. There was that last form the other day. Do you know the timeline of when the ultimate decision is going to be made, if it's official or not?
Yeah, he's supposed to make the decision on August 9th. So it's
August 9th next week.
Right, 1 week from today, and I'm not sure if the media will be allowed or not. I'm kind of hoping that we are, but I have a feeling we won't be because all of the other meetings were public. This is the final decision-making meeting, so it'll probably be behind closed doors. But like I said, I expect that the stadium will be built, that he will approve it. You know, if he didn't, it would be a shock to me. It would be a shock to a lot of the loyal CSU fans that I talk to on a regular basis. There's a certain cat out of the bag principle to it, if you will. You know, Jack Graham has already come out and said, these are the things wrong with our current stadium. We need a new stadium. So now if we don't get a new stadium, we're stuck with a stadium that has these problems that you've already laid out for us.
And they'll need money anyways to fix that if there's stadium problems. So why not start
right?
That can cost almost as much as a new stadium. And if you think about it, the amount that's going to cost is not really that much compared to what other schools are spending, because Graham has said a long time, we don't need to compete with Texas, USC, or Ohio State. We just need to compete within the Mountain West.
Right. They
don't need to spend $800 million on a stadium. What they're spending
right.
is pretty much not a lot if you think about it.
Well, and I have a sinking suspicion that another, you know, key that, you know, to Graham wanting to build this stadium that he might have seen in the future is that you build a new stadium, you know, you start building this winning tradition with a winning coach. Maybe possibly down the line, a bigger conference that's more established that you can make more money from will invite you to join.
Yeah, it's always a goal.
it could be a goal, and I don't see why it wouldn't be an end goal, because you know Colorado State is struggling financially in the athletically, and you know a good amount of it comes down to that TV money.
Okay, excellent. So we got totally stadium's probably going to happen, but you never know. Let's go ahead, get back to the football, and let's go ahead and get to the schedule. We have a very Colorado State has an interesting schedule. I wouldn't call it ridiculously hard. I would consider it doable, but let's go ahead and take a game by game approach. What's your thoughts on the game? So the first game, of course, is against Colorado. What's your take?
Well, you know, it's the greatest college football game in the state of Colorado every single year. It takes place in the Denver Broncos' home Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium, renamed this year. And it's gonna be a brutal battle. It's a fun, exciting environment where 60,000 fans come out dressed in their gold and black or their green and gold. They're out there having a fun time. And, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a close game. I'm going to have to give the edge to Colorado, I think. A slight edge to CU in that one.
Okay, I assume South Dakota State victory, right? Is that pretty much given? You don't want to pass them too much, or North Dakota State. You assume that's going to be a win, right?
Yes. I mean, I haven't seen them play. You just have to, it's a home opener. You got to give them a win in that one.
Okay, because their schedule lays out pretty good, because next is San Jose State, Utah State. We all heard that in Utah State last year. That was closed with a double overtime, I believe. That game was,
yes.
Oh, man.
That was a heartbreaker for Colorado State.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, I remember the 2-point conversion, I think that's what it was. They got stuffed at the end. After they had what is a fairly decent lead near the end. But I think those first four games, they could – here's my thing. I don't want to be too optimistic because we know they're rebuilding. But I think all those first four games, all those are winnable games. Would you agree with that?
Winnable. Yeah, they're definitely winnable. I mean, Colorado, that game sets the tone. You know, CSU has always been the little brothers to CU athletically. Prestige-wise, in the media, you know, CSU wants nothing more than to start their season off with a win against CU. And it goes both ways, which makes it such a tough battle. If they can somehow win that game, then I don't see why they couldn't go on a little roll there to start the season. Still, even if they lose to Colorado, they could feasibly start 3-1.
All right, so we got through Colorado, we got through North Dakota State, we're at 1-1. San Jose State. Let's go ahead and go through like kind of a one-liner prediction. What's your thought?
Well, it's going to be tough. You know, it's a road game, and the Rams have struggled on the road no matter their opponent. And it's going to come down to late execution. And I think it's a winnable game, like I said, for Colorado State.
Okay.
Yeah, we already mentioned Utah State, so that's a toss-up. We know they're getting better. But they lost Robin Turbin and their backup to NFL, so we already kind of know that's going to be tough regardless, because that'll be a tough game. We don't need to go too much more into it. We know it could be a toss-up because it's at home. Don't revenge. So we're getting a conference play here. We'll kind of go through quickly and run out of time, because last night we actually did run out of time doing this. But, okay, next game, at the conference, they get a pretty decent conference slate. They get Fresno at home. They get Hawaii at home. UNLV
right.
New Mexico at home. I'm thinking UNLV and New Mexico should be wins because they're at home, and those two teams are just below Colorado State, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they could do against Fresno State, the new team, McElwain's old team from a couple years ago, so it's a little familiarity there. How do you think what do you think could happen in Fresno State? It probably depends how they play in the previous five games. If they get the momentum, who knows what could happen?
Well, sure. I mean, it's another home game after coming. It's going to be a difficult game the week before against Air Force, definitely. And then they're going to come home to Fort Collins. You know, hopefully they're going to have some home cooking and, you know, get some good rest in their beds. And, you know, I think Colorado State is going to pull that one out.
You, against Fresno? Interesting.
I think so.
Right, we'll make sure to keep this track to Fresno, Colorado State game.
Yeah. October 6th, mark it.
Now, of course,
so then how
you know,
about...
I haven't really scouted them too much, but since they're a new team,
yeah.
I haven't been scouting, but...
Same here.
Yeah, all please, right. let's go back to these predictions at the end of the year, because I bet I get every single one of them wrong.
Who doesn't? Everybody's 50-50 if you're lucky, it seems like.
All right.
So San Diego State at the Cube.
That's going to be a very difficult game. You know, again, on the road, Colorado State struggles. They have historically. You know, at that point, if they're, what is it, 3-3 or even 4-2 somehow, you know, maybe they're on a roll. Maybe they get some things to go their way, but I honestly don't think, I don't see them pulling that game out in San Diego State.
All right. We get to finish up the season, Hawaii, Wyoming, UNLV, Boise State, New Mexico. Those last five games, they look difficult, but it looks like two to three of those games are winnable. You agree?
Oh, yeah.
Gary?
No, I agree.
Okay.
You know, Wyoming's going to,
so
of course, be a battle.
Okay, so final prediction overall record.
Or at least bowl chances, I would say. Do you think they'll make a bowl game?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
they'll make a bowl.
Okay, six wins. They got six wins there. Okay.
I see six. You know, they could even possibly get 7 or 8.
That's
good. They could not.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's a stretch. But, you know, the culture is changing. Of course, there's going to be a ton of turnover. Not only in coaching, but in the players. And it's going to be a difficult season again for Colorado State, but I do see them improving on that record. They're not going to go 3-9 again. We'll say that.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's all. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, they have the chances to win the game, like you said. First four toss or could go either way almost. And then you got, like you said, Hawaii could be winnable. Every home game should be winnable for them this year. Fresno State's probably, at least in my opinion, least likely to happen for the home win, but every other home game
mm-hmm.
could theoretically be wins. And then the road games, it's a little more difficult, San Jose State kind of, but you think if they take care of business at home, they're going to head to a bowl game because that's North Dakota, Utah State, Hawaii, UNLV, New Mexico, five games right there. You got to win one on the road. You're probably going to beat San Jose
right.
State and maybe even San Diego State. So that's you're not – I think eight might, well, you're going to be optimistic a bit more than we are. I think eight a bit high, but I could see six, maybe seven if things go well. And that's, like I said, if they go 3-9 again, that's, I don't know what they're going to do in that town. They're going to stop
yeah.
the stadium build if they go 3-9.
Yeah, they might just tear down the old stadium themselves and force them to build a new stadium.
All right, so we got to wrap up because we're almost out of time here. Thank you very much. We got Rich Kurtzman. That's follow him on Twitter. He writes about everything, right? You do Colorado State, Examiner,
right.
Medium, Hot Broncos, hockey, right? You do some hockey?
I do a little bit, yeah.
Okay, there we go. If I scroll up on your Twitter page, I see what you write about. Broncos, Rams, Rockies, and the stadium journey. That's a pretty cool site, too. So thank you very much. Everybody check out the stuff. He's writing a ton about CSU now, and we'll hope for the best, and we will probably have you on again, maybe before Fresno State, see if that really happens.
We could. Or after,
right, man.
You know.
Like, we'll take a thing before or after. We'll take a seat. All right, thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's been a pleasure, guys.
All right. All right, Chris.
Yep.
Great stuff there. We're almost out of time again. So, hey, that's great stuff there. He knows what he's talking about. He wrote like five things the past week about CSU. He's there. He's always hanging out the games, taking care of business, knows what's going on a little more than we do because we're not really there. And he's a sounds pretty optimistic, which is the case. New coach, you bring in new everything. It seems like you're going to want to have that edge where we're great. You want to be good.